Well, I got to admit, I'm kind of surprised. Nobody said boo to me about tie, cuffs, which is very strange because Thursday night I had people talking about my kind of greenish shirt all over the place. And nobody said, what is this? The deal is, folks, that at 3 o'clock today, I'm going to be over at Webster Chapel helping them celebrate their 150th. And if I had done all, you know, this, it would have been so wrinkled, I would have looked like somebody pulled me out of the washing machine. So thank you for your patience and your grace and not saying, Gerald, you're not with the dress code here. Somebody told me once that you can wear anything to Ignite, so I took you up on it, I guess. When our church leadership made the decision about a month, 6 weeks ago, to move our stewardship campaign back to the fall time, we decided to stay with the questions format that we've been using since early September, but to focus on different questions. And in our three-week Thanks for Giving series, the stewardship campaign that starts today, we are going to be taking up three questions. First, today, what is tithing? Secondly, why do we tithe? And thirdly, what difference does tithing make? We'll remind you of this week by week, but today we're going to be looking at what is tithing. Will you pray with me, please? Oh Lord, everything comes from you. We do not create out of nothing anything, but we use the blessings that you give us, the minds you give us, the strength you give us, the hearts you give us to shape and give focus and reality so that this world may be different. We ask that you remind us again today some of the implications of what that means, that we live by grace, your free gift. And you call us to share. In Christ's name, amen. So what is tithing? What is tithing? This is a real question. What you give to the church? Give back to God? A tenth? Here is one possibility. Could we have the cartoon up here? We don't have the cartoon. Okay. All right. Well, let me try to describe the cartoon that was supposed to be up there. The cartoon shows a son and his father at a restaurant table. And the son says to the dad, Dad, why does the waitress get 15% and God only gets 10%? Why does the waitress get 15% and God only gets 10%? One way of thinking about a tithe is like that cartoon does. It's a tip. It's a tip we give God for a good service. Right? Another possibility for what tithing is that it's dues. It's what you pay to be part of a group. Right? So you pay your membership dues, like you do for Rotary Club or Lions Club or you know, one of the school clubs. The tithing is, you know, what we pay to be part of a group, the church. Another way of thinking about tithing is that it's, well, the old-fashioned churchy word is indulgence. Back in the bad old days, an indulgence could be bought from the church to, it's like a get out of hell free card, okay? You bought your indulgence and that meant that your sins were somehow in that transfer of funds wiped away. So it's basically a way of thinking about what that we give so that we can bribe God to get a spiritual something or other. All of these are different ways that I have heard in the last, let's say, 3 months, people talk about tithing. That it is, you know, it's a tip to give God, that it is a bribe, or that it's membership dues. I want us to look at one passage. Do we have the Malachi passage here? Okay. This is Malachi 3, verses 6 through 20. Now, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. It's the last book in the Old Testament, but tithes are mentioned in the Torah, the law, the first five books of the Old Testament. All through Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, it talks about the tithe. And in Genesis, in the first book of the Bible, we find that Abraham gives a tithe to Melchizedek, who Christians see as kind of an anticipation of Jesus. But this comes from the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3, verses 6 through 20. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. For if I will not open the windows of heaven for you, and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. All right. I want you to notice four things about this. First of all, notice God's changeless, eternal love for His people and His care for them. Right there, verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. Because I don't change, you haven't been destroyed. I have protected you, I've kept you, I've watched over you, I've cared for you. Okay? Secondly, the people's faithlessness. From the days of your fathers, you've turned aside from me. And it goes on. That faithlessness, according to this word, that faithlessness has somehow resulted in a situation of crisis. Now, the prophet Malachi, at least in these verses, does not go into the exact what's going on. Apparently, there's trouble with famine, or there's something that has thrown the people into crisis. Their faithlessness has resulted in a situation of trouble. That's an important thing to notice, number two. The third thing to notice is that the tithe represents an attitude toward God or a relationship with God. We're not talking here about the people buying God's favor. According to this, the tithe represents the people's attitude toward God. Their lack of faithfulness, their refusal really to take seriously their relationship with God has led to them abandoning the tithe. The tithe is not an instrument of trying to make God like us. It represents our attitude toward God. This is not the prosperity gospel either, folks. You don't find here like what some people think is here, that is, that you give and God's going to give more. The tithe represents our relationship, our existing relationship. It reflects our engagement with God. And the tithe, according to Malachi, according to God's word, shifts our focus from the scarcity model, that is, there's not enough, we don't have enough, to joyful trust. Look what God has provided for us. God has promised to care for us. God has promised to preserve us. There will be enough. Whatever happens, it's okay because God has promised. That's a very different understanding from that name it and claim it stuff. Okay? The tithe shifts our attention away from what we have or don't have to what God's goodness has poured out in countless ways. Fourth, look at the result. The nations see our delight. The peoples who do not know God see how God has blessed us, not simply materially, and not even primarily materially, but see the joy of our souls, and they call us blessed. They call us blessed. You will be a land of delight. Look at the connection between verse 6, the first one up there, and verse 12. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Then all nations will call you blessed. For you will be a land of delight, says the Lord. You see how those two things fit together here? So what is a tithe? The tithe, or the first fruits, as it's sometimes called in the Old Testament, the tithe is the first 10% of our lives. It is not the leftovers. It's the best we have to give. It represents that 10%, that first fruits, represent the totality of all that God has given to us. It stands in, right? It signifies, just like the seal of the President of the United States stands in, it signifies the President. The seal is not the President, but it signifies. The tithe is not the totality, but it signifies the whole. The tithe represent what God has provided for us. It is not our own. God gives us everything as a trust. We are stewards of what God has provided. It does not belong to us. When we give our tithe, and by the way, folks, let's be clear, the tithe is not just money. It's our energy, it's our hearts, it's our souls, it's our prayers, it's all of our life, it's our time. When we give our tithe, it is, first of all, our recognition, our acknowledgement of God's authority and God's care. Okay? When we give, the tithe says, you are God and I'm not. And I trust, Lord, that you can take better care of me than I can of myself. You really believe that? I'm here to testify that it's true. I have tried over and over again in my life to take care of me and mine. And folks, let's be honest, I still do that every once in a while. But God is far more able to care for Gerald Sharp and those dear to him than he is. When we give our tithe, we recognize that God is God. And he can care for us, preserve us. Secondly, the tithe is a resource for ministries. Food in my house. Where is that? Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. In my house. That's important there. The tithe is a resource for ministry. The tithe provides for those who are chosen to lead God's people in worship and in service and in ministry and in all kinds of different ways. And yeah, folks, I realize, I am very aware that part of your generosity pays my salary. And not just mine, but Sean's and the staff and our district superintendent and our bishop. People are cared for because of your generosity. People are provided for because of your gifts. And it's not new. I mean, look here. It was in Malachi, and it goes back to Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Our financial concerns this fall, you've probably heard it, our financial concerns have resulted in questions about staffing. Can we maintain the staff we have? If we can't, who do we cut? It's a real question. Thirdly, the tithe provides care and help for those most vulnerable. Food in my house. There may be food in my house. So we think of VCAM, and we think of Christ's Kitchen, and we think of Providence Place that we heard from, what was it, two Sundays ago? And we think of all the various groups and ministries who care for those who are hurting, care for those who are vulnerable. The tithe provides for those who are most vulnerable, who have no other help. In so many cases, the work that the United Methodist Church is doing in Liberia with regard to the Ebola situation there, or the Nothing But Nets stuff for malaria relief. These three aspects of the first fruits, the tithe, not just here in Malachi, that run through all the other references to the tithe. Recognition of God's authority and care. Provision for those who lead God's people. And care for the helpless and most vulnerable. But hang on. All of this stuff about tithing is in the Old Testament. Not much mention of it in the New Testament, right? Okay, so, well, maybe we Christians are free of the responsibility of the tithe. Just give what we feel right. Believe me, I have heard that in the last month here. Not Ignite, but in church, our church family. We don't have to tithe. We're set free from that responsibility. Well, let's see what Jesus has to say about that. Matthew 5. This is Jesus. This is part of his Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, that's the smallest letter in the Greek alphabet, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is Jesus. I'm not making this up. It's there in Matthew. You can check your own Bible. Jesus is talking to the crowds. Be clear, it's not just a private conversation with his disciples, his closest friends. Not just meant for super Christians, okay? He's talking to Jews and Gentiles, men and women, youth and elders, to everybody, the crowds. He says, I don't know how much more clearly it could be said. He is not bringing an end to the Old Testament. He is bringing its fulfillment. Our life of faith, according to our Lord, that's what he means by righteousness, our life of faith must go beyond the bare minimum. Must go beyond even that prideful counting the scribes and Pharisees are so, aren't we all so eager to do? Well, I give so much. I do so much. Look how many hours I spend. Unless your life of faith goes beyond. Jesus doesn't let us off the hook, does he? Well, Jesus doesn't, but maybe our Methodist tradition will make it easier for us. Maybe our Methodist tradition, I mean, here we are, United Methodists, well, some of us. Maybe being a Methodist is not as hard as Jesus makes it sound. Here's what John Wesley, one of the, the first leader of this ragtag band of people we call Methodists, wrote. This is in one of his standard sermons. This is, by the way, for those of you not real familiar with Methodist-y stuff, this is part of our doctrinal foundation. This is what we believe. This is from his Sermon 51. It's called The Good Steward. We are not at liberty to use what God has lodged in our hands as we please, but as he pleases, who alone is the possessor of heaven and earth and the Lord of every creature. We have no right to dispose of anything we have but according to his will, seeing we are not proprietors, that is, owners, of any of these things. They are all, as our Lord speaks, belonging to another person. Nor is anything properly our own in this land of our pilgrimage. We shall not receive our own things till we come to our own country. Eternal things only are our own. With all these temporal things, we are simply entrusted by another, the disposer and Lord of all. And he entrusts us with them on this express condition that we use them only as our master's goods and according to the particular directions which he has given us in his word. Did you catch that? On this condition, he hath entrusted us with our souls, our bodies, our goods, and whatever other talents we have received. And then he goes on to write, there is no employment of our time, no action or conversation that is purely indifferent. All is good or bad, because all our time, as everything we have, is not our own. It all belongs to God. So says Brother Wesley. Now, this sermon isn't in the doctrinal standards. It's still got some good stuff in it, though. This is The Danger of Riches, his sermon number 87. Where do we go here? Having gained in a right sense all you can and saved all you can in spite of nature and custom and worldly prudence, give all you can. I do not say be a good Jew, giving a tenth of all you possess. I do not say be a good Pharisee, giving a fifth of all your substance. I dare not advise you to give half of what you have, no, nor three quarters, but all. Lift up your hearts and you will see clearly in what sense this is to be done. Well, we didn't get any relief from Mr. Wesley either, did we? If you're looking for the easy way, don't go looking to John Wesley. He echoes our Lord Jesus, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Folks, talking about money is hard. We get so wrapped up in it. We get so pardon the pun, invested in it, thinking it belongs to us. And so people think that I or whoever the preacher of the day is pointing fingers or casting guilt. But folks, this stuff is just as much a challenge for me as anybody else. I am a long way from Mr. Wesley's standards. A long way. It is as hard for me and Maureen to write the check as it is for anybody else. Let me make some suggestions. First of all, be clear what the tithe is not. It is not a tip to God, a recognition of good service. It's not dues for a club. It's not a bribe. Recognize what the tithe is not. Secondly, be clear in your own soul what it is. It's acknowledgement and recognition of God's authority over your life and God's care for you. It is provision for the ministries of God's people. It is help for the most vulnerable people in this community and in this world. That's what the tithe is. Thirdly, talk to your family about this stuff. Did you hear that crazy stuff that Gerald was saying? What in the world is up with that? My Lord, who could do any of that? Talk to your family. Where are you? What is God asking you to do? Let this be a way to grow your faith, and not just your own, but your kids or your parents. Talk to your family. And fourth, take a step. If you are not tithing now, doesn't mean you're a bad person. And doesn't mean that, you know, next week you got to be there. It's hard to get from 0 to 60. And my little old truck, you know, it goes, all right? Sometimes with all our lives, it goes, it's hard to get there, but take a step. Put it in gear. Try first. If you're given 1%, if you're given a tip, try committing 1% of what God provides for you, a gift, a return, a tithe. If you're giving 3%, try 5. Take a step, whatever that step may be. Okay? If you are tithing, where could you grow? Where could you grow? I mean, did you hear what Mr. Wesley was saying? It's all good stuff. I had a hard time, you know, narrowing it down to just a few sentences. It's challenging. It will take you to the wall, folks. It did me. If you are tithing, where could you grow? Brothers and sisters, it all belongs to God. We, none of us, get out of this world taking it with us. None of us. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. The question before us today and every day, not just Sundays, the question before us is, what will we give? Not just money, but time, passion, compassion, love. And the last word is always the most important. The last word, thanks for giving. Whatever it is that you give to God as your pastor and as one who's supposed to speak in some way for God, thank you. Thank you for giving of yourself, of your life. Lord, bless us, open our hearts, our minds, our lives to you more and more. Save us, O God, from the temptation of thinking that we control or we own any part of what you have given to us. What is ours is simply the promise of the resurrection, eternal life. What is ours is the new Jerusalem. And in that promise, we rejoice and we thank you. Bless us now with open hearts and lives, with lives ready.